Our reading for today comes from 1 Kings chapter 18. So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah then came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go on limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets number 450. Let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire is indeed God. All the people answered, "Well spoken." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. Then call on the name of your God, but put no fire to it." So they took the bull that was given them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning unto noon, crying, "O Baal, answer us!" But there was no voice and no answer. They limped about the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, surely he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he's wandered away, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." Then they cried aloud, and as was their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out over them. As midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no answer, and no response. Then Elijah said to the people, "Come closer to me." And all the people came closer to him. First he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel should be your name." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then he made a trench around the altar, large enough to contain 2 measures of seed. Next he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. He said, "Fill 4 jars with water, and pour it on the burnt offering in the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. Again he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time, so that the water ran around all the altar and filled the trench also with water. At the time of the offering of oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God." The word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this week, I got assigned to preach on one of my favorite passages from the Old Testament. And it's one of my favorite people as well. I love Elijah the prophet. So I just want to make sure you're caught up on everything that's happened up until now. Israel had a civil war and split into 2 different kingdoms. The southern kingdom, Judah, and the northern kingdom, Israel. God's people are divided between these 2 kingdoms, and neither kingdom is faring well when it comes to following God. They both have kings ruling over them, and the kings aren't exactly doing the best job. Sure, David danced naked in front of the Ark of the Covenant and committed both adultery and murder, but he was still generally faithful to God, which is more than the other kings can say for themselves, especially the kings of the northern kingdom, Israel. Today, we meet King Ahab. And to say it lightly, Ahab is bad news. We are told that Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before them. Yeah, this is a distinguishing factor you want for your king, right? And Ahab somehow manages to add to doing evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. He married poorly on top of everything else. His queen was Jezebel. She was just as bad, if not worse, than her husband. Her major crime, other than calling in hits on various people, was encouraging Ahab and the people to worship gods other than the Lord God. Ahab, in turn, encouraged God's people to worship these other gods, the most prominent being Baal. Now, Baal was the Canaanite storm god, who was thought to provide rain for the land. He was obviously an important god because they lived in an arid climate, and rain provides water for their all-important crops. You need rain in order to grow things, in order to eat, just like here in Lancaster County, even. Now, to us living today, this concept of gods seems a bit silly. Chances are we've studied various versions of these different types of gods in a unit on mythology in school, or maybe you've heard about them through various references in pop culture, like in the Percy Jackson novels and movies, or even Marvel has the character Thor, the ancient Norse god, and there have been a couple of movies on him. Or you at least are familiar with the names like Jupiter and Uranus and Mars because the planets are named after these gods. But for most of us, these are just stories and myths and nothing to take seriously. They aren't in competition with God. People don't worship these gods anymore. Now, I've talked about this novel before, and I'm going to use it again as an example. There was this great book that I read the other year, a classic modern fantasy called American Gods by the author Neil Gaiman. And the central idea of the story was that all the gods that people had brought over to America when they first immigrated here, including, for instance, the Norse god Odin or the Egyptian god Anubis, well, these gods were all still hanging out here. They were weaker because no one was worshiping them anymore, but they were still here, hanging out. They were in direct competition with the newer gods. Now, while we wouldn't really be tempted to worship Odin or Thor or Jupiter or Zeus or whoever, the newer gods are a different story. There's technology and fame, the internet, television, entertainment, achievement, fortune, relationships, success, money, youth. Now, these are the gods that we know well, even though we don't necessarily think of them as gods. After all, we're not about killing animals and spreading their blood on altars for these gods. That seems a little bit silly for us. But we do offer these gods our time, our devotion, our thoughts, our money, and even our hearts at times. The old gods may be on their way out, but the new gods are on the rise. And they've been working hard to capture us, our attention, and our devotion. Though our gods don't have names like Baal, the false gods are still there. They're still working on tempting us away from the one true God, just like in Elijah's time. So into this mess steps Elijah, the chosen prophet, the voice of God. And Elijah is called to stand up against Ahab, Jezebel, the prophets, and false gods. Elijah calls a meeting with Ahab and challenges him and his gods and prophets to a duel in front of the kingdom at Mount Carmel. Now let it be said that the meeting at Mount Carmel was giving a distinct advantage to Baal. Mount Carmel was all that Baal stood for. It was a beautiful mountain full of greenery that showed it had received the favor from the storm god, if such a storm god existed. As we say in sports, it was home field advantage for Baal. Elijah and God were venturing onto Baal's turf for this battle. And the people and the prophets gathered, and then Elijah confronts the people of Israel. How long will you go on limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. In other words, no more sitting on the fence. Who you worship matters. Worshiping God matters. Worshiping the true God matters. And it's important enough that God is going to show you just how much of a God he is. So the stakes are set. They are each given a bull, and whichever God sets the bull on fire at the altar, well, that will be the true God. I love the language in this. It's so much fun to read. The prophets of Baal are the first to step up to the plate. So they took the bull that was given them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning unto noon, crying to Baal, answer us, O God. But there was no voice and no answer. And Elijah, this is why I love Elijah, he mocks them. Cry aloud, surely he's a god. Either maybe he's meditating, or maybe he's wandered away, or maybe he's sleeping and you just need to yell a little bit louder. How do you not like Elijah for that? So they cried aloud, and as is their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out. As midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of oblation. But there was no voice, no answer, and no response. In other words, their God didn't show up. And isn't it funny how when they needed this God the most, he didn't show? And that's the way it seems to happen with other gods that we worship too. And we've given so much to them. But when it comes to a time of the need, they aren't there. Success is fleeting, or it seems like it's never enough. Money can be gone in an instant, whether it's a crash in the market, a massive health care bill, a bad investment, or an unexpected hit to your budget. The internet and technology can never truly fill the hole in us that longs for actual human contact and real relationships. Then Elijah calls the people. And Elijah repairs the altar and prepares it. And in order to prepare it, as you heard, he has them dump 4 jars of water on the wood, not just once, not just twice, but 3 times. It's going to be crystal clear who the real God is in the showdown. Then the prophet Elijah came near and said, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let me know that this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant, and I have done these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, the dust. And I love this little detail, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. God comes out swinging and delivers a knockout punch. He shows the people beyond a doubt that he is God. Now, of course, the challenging part is we weren't there. We're not the people of Israel. And it's not like this fixed their idolatry problem either. Though the people fell on their faces that day and said, the Lord indeed is God, the Lord indeed is God. Well, they would go on to worship other gods again and again and again. Even with Elijah around, even with this great sign that they saw in person, the people would still go on to be unfaithful to God. Because this is just who they were. Because this is just who we are. Worshiping other gods comes kind of naturally to us. Even with great prophets like Elijah delivering God's word to the people and standing up to the false gods and prophets, it wasn't enough to turn things around. So God comes up with another plan. God is going to show us who God really is and the fullness of God's power and love. God sends us Jesus, not just so Jesus can do miracles like the miracles witnessed on Mount Carmel, because that wasn't enough for the people to turn from their ways then, and wasn't going to be enough for them to turn from their ways now. Instead, Jesus comes not just to minister to all, but to die. Die on the cross so that we might be forgiven for all those times we have worshipped and devoted our lives to other gods. For all those times that we have been unfaithful to God. God isn't just about raining fire down from the sky. God is also about forgiveness. And God offers it to us through God's Son, in Jesus' death on the cross. God offers us new hearts, faithful hearts, faith through the cross. through the Word, through Jesus. This is the God that we worship. This is the one true God, the God who came down to die for us, because that's just how much God loved us. The God who rose again from the grave so that we may have the promise of eternal life. This is who we worship. So let us fall on our faces, just as the Israelites did so long ago, and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord indeed is God. Thanks be to God. Amen.